Hello, Dr. David Denmark. How are you today?
Hi, Joe. Great. How are you? Thanks so much for having me back.
Today, we're here to talk about venous insufficiency, or also known as varicose veins. So what exactly is that, venous insufficiency?
Sure. So basically what's going on is, we're generally thinking about the legs, is the heart pumps the blood down the arteries, and the veins have to bring the blood back up to the heart. However, gravity wants to pull the blood down to the feet. So the veins have valves to prevent the reflux or insufficiency or from the blood going back down to the feet. So blood, with the pumping motion of the heart, the blood comes up, gravity pulls it down, but the valves shut and they open it back up and they shut again to prevent the blood from going down. As we get older, there are certain risk factors. Those veins can widen, the valves can no longer touch, and the blood pools down into our legs, and that's venous insufficiency, and can cause a lot of symptoms: tired, achy, painful legs, itchy, burning, restless legs. A lot of what we see is our big veins, our bulging veins, or those are our varicose veins, and we can see the little small kind of purple ones, like a spider web, and those are spider veins. So those are some of the signs and symptoms of venous insufficiency.
And so what role does age, gender, and genetics play in this venous insufficiency?
So genetics, if your parents have it, you're definitely at risk. Then regarding age of anything, as you get older, we see an increased frequency. And regarding gender, it's generally females are higher risk. It's not necessarily that there's anything innate with the female versus the male for venous insufficiency, just as much that when women get pregnant, their blood volume doubles for their baby. And that doubling of the blood volume can stretch those veins. So a lot of people will notice that after several pregnancies, now I'm getting some leg issues because the valves, just aren't working anymore.
And so when we talk about how one treats it, and is it strictly a cosmetic issue or is it something more involved in that respect?
There is the cosmetic aspect of it, which we can and do treat. But from a pure medical perspective, if you're getting what we consider severe symptoms, especially if those symptoms do go untreated, then you can lead to what we call venous stasis, venous ulcers. Basically, you're just not getting good flow, good circulation. You can, as I mentioned, ulcers on the legs, skin starts to break down. So there are definitely reasons to treat it before we get to those symptoms.
Is it outpatient or does it require overnight stays?
Sure. So we typically would recommend if someone is having severe symptoms, the most conservative approach is going to be no one likes compression stockings. But these are typically, they're not necessarily the ones. You can go to, if you will, your local pharmacy and pick one up. But these are going to be medical grade thigh-high compression stockings. And so those are the ones that we typically recommend. You can get a script for them. And they're one of the reasons why I really like them too is because if your legs feel better when you wear them, then that would give us, more hope that if we were go to the next step of treatment that you would feel better. A lot of times people may have some of the symptoms that overlap other disease. My legs are achy, my legs are tired. That also may be from arthritis or another disease. So it is good to know if the compression stockings make you feel better, then that next level would hopefully also make you feel better. So speaking of that next level, then we generally move on to procedures. What we used to do, and I guess still rarely do, is vein stripping. That's a procedure that my vascular surgical colleagues perform, several incisions down the leg. And they basically, if you will, pull out the vein that is causing the problem. Backing up a little bit, when we think about the veins of the legs, I kind of think about them in like the road system of the United States. We have our main highways, and that's everything feeds into that highway, and then the blood goes back up to the heart. You may have heard, someone has a blood clot in their leg or a deep vein thrombosis, a DVT. When I get on the plane, I got to make sure I move around my legs to keep the blood flowing, because we're concerned about a clot in your deep system, in that main highway. branching off the highway, then we move to our superficial side road. So those are our superficial veins, our great saphenous vein, our small saphenous vein. And then we have our little driveways, if you will, big, long driveways, our varicose veins. Those are the ones that we see. And little tiny driveways, maybe our spider veins. So when we are moving beyond our conservative therapy and thinking about doing procedures, we are now going to be treating the superficial side roads. So a lot of times people say, oh, I have this varicose vein on the outside of my leg, but the procedure they did to improve it went on the inside of my leg. Because what we're treating are not the veins that you can see, that the surface driveways that you can see, we're going one level lower to the superficial side roads. And when we treat or remove those veins, basically the premise, the idea is that we are treating a diseased side road and shifting blood to the healthy highway. Now, some patients also have disease in the deep system, in their highway. Right now, there's really no treatment for that aside from just conservative therapy. But moving back to our superficial side roads, we think about what we do these days versus the surgical stripping. It's basically catheter-based approaches. There are three of them that are generally used. The oldest one, it's still fairly new, about 15, 20 years old, called VenaFit or Closure Fast. It goes by several different names. But basically, we insert a catheter into the vein, numb up the leg, and then heat that vein up to about 250 degrees. That's why we want to numb up the leg so you don't feel that. And then we pull the catheter back as it's heating up and basically kind of burning the vein away. And then when we pull the catheter out, the body will resorb that vein. The other two newer techniques, one is called Clarivane, where again, it's catheter-based. We insert the catheter into the vein. And basically what this device does is it spins extremely quickly, causing what we call dissections or micro tears in the inner lining of the blood vessel. And then we inject a chemical or sclerosant to close up that vein. So we have to basically open up the vein to see the chemical. So that's why we have to make those little micro tears. And then the last one we do is the VenaSeal. And that is basically, again, catheter-based. We insert the catheter up and we basically inject medical grade super glue to close up the vein. But all three procedures are generally very well tolerated. We're moving a little bit to the Clarivane and the VenaSeal a little bit more these days, just because we don't have to numb up the entire leg and we can treat a little bit more of the vein because we're not using heat energy with the newer procedures. But they all generally, I would say they're outpatient, day procedures, take probably out an hour door to door in the room itself, maybe half an hour, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter.
That indeed is a relatively common procedure now, just based on how you've described it.
Yeah, we're doing a lot more of it. Again, I think, as we transition to, seeking care or when are we going to be doing things, if I have venous disease or I have a lot of symptoms, my legs ache, but I don't have ulcers yet, do I really want to go through vein stripping? Do I really want to go through a big surgery? You're like, well, maybe not. It's not that big of a deal. I'll just deal with it now. Where now we have minimally invasive techniques and, it's an hour door to door. It's just a Friday. It's no major surgery. I mean, there's no intubation. There's no even conscious sedation. If someone's very, very nervous, we can give them, a little pill, maybe some Ativan to take the edge off. But you walk in, you get it done, you walk out. Pretty simple these days.
Is this condition of venous insufficiency and more specifically varicose veins, once treated, does it return?
When we do treat them, it is very good. Nothing's perfect. The studies go out about 10 years. I might say you have about a, 95, 96% success rate as far as closing the individual vein. So when we close or treat the vein, that vein is basically gone, is not coming back except in extremely rare circumstances. However, the body's pretty smart and it can build or create new veins. So sometimes I will treat, for example, what they call the great saphenous vein. And then several years later, symptoms return and we see that there's an accessory great saphenous vein. Now, a lot of times it's not necessarily that the body really built that vein as much as that was probably already there, but almost never used. And once we shut down the great saphenous vein, the accessory vein became more prominent. or we treated the great saphenous vein, and now we have to treat the small saphenous vein. So typically what I'll tell patients is after procedure, you know, let's give it 3, even up to 6 months to see how you're feeling. And if you're still having severe symptoms, then we'll do an ultrasound again to take a look at the veins. We'll measure, we can measure with this ultrasound, the blood going back and forth. Is it, it should just be going one direction up to the heart, how much of it's going back down to the feet. So we can measure that to see if that's significant. And then if it is significant, then, you know, we treat, you know, one at a time to try to do as little as we can for the most bang for our buck. So if we can treat just one vein and your symptoms go from a 9 out of 10 to a 1 or 2 out of 10, problem solved. We don't need to treat every single thing we see. We just want you to be feeling better.
Dr. Denmark, it has been a real pleasure visiting with you today to talk about venous insufficiency, also known as varicose veins. You know, I used to assume I knew much about varicose veins just listening to the conversations that the female members of my family were having, but you certainly have covered a wide range of how it even applies to men. And so just want to thank you so much. And in particular, just how the technology and how medical procedures has advanced in the treatment of venous insufficiency.
Yes, it has come quite a long way, but I really appreciate you having me. It's been great, wonderful questions, and I just hope it's been educational for everybody.
Thank you again, Dr. Denmark.